true that is as we remain standing this morning. No other argument do we need. It's enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. A lot of folks are trying to climb up some other way, but they're not going to get in any other way. They think they got to have Jesus plus. But I think we have Jesus, 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 and Jesus. Amen. And he is enough. There's no doubt about that, no question in my mind about it. I want to say today that I love him because he loved me. And I remember where I was when he found me. And I've never gotten over it, don't want to get over it. In fact, I'd like to get a little wild sometime, amen, and just kind of celebrate for old time's sake. That's right, just kind of turn loose and let go and let God have his wonderful way in our heart and life. Did I not turn it on, Brother Robert? All right. I remember to put it on and forget to turn it on. So now it's on and it's on. So I can be on. We'll be all right. Amen. All right. Let's look in our Bibles this morning to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 20. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. And verse 20, okay? Try to bring you a little thought the Lord has laid on my heart here and hope to try to be a blessing. I know it's getting late, and I'll try to get done as quickly as I can. I do mean that, and because I need to myself physically, I need to do that. All right, verse number 20. The Bible said, "Then began he to upbraid the cities, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." Now this first city, if I don't pronounce it right, forgive me of that, okay? But he said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." At that time Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babies. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And may the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm grateful, Lord, for the morning hour, the Sunday school, the good songs that we've sang and heard. Such a blessing to my heart today. I want to say, Lord, that you are enough. You're enough for any man, boy, girl, woman, to be saved. You shed your blood for the remission of the sins of many. In that we can rejoice. I want to thank you for the privilege of being in God's house and to be with your people, be able to fellowship with them and open up the Word of God, knowing in my heart that we have the Word of God in truth. I thank you this morning for the indwelling Spirit of God that comforts us, corrects us, helps us, guides us into all truth. I'd ask you now to bless, Lord, as I stand this morning. Help me with the power of God that I need to preach a message and strengthen my body as well. I pray for people that you'd open hearts of understanding. Give grace, Lord, to the lost and save them. And Father, bless your people and their needs that they have today. which are many, vast, and broad. And I pray that you'd meet each and every one. You're able to do that because you're God. And we'll thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. All right, I want to call our attention this morning to verse number 29. That's where I'm going to be taking our thought from. And our Lord says there, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul." That first part of that verse, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." No, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, lately I've been preaching around some things about learning. And I spoke about learning to be content and so forth. And I want to speak to you a little while this morning out of this verse on learning about Jesus. Learning about Jesus. Now, I realize that that is a very, very deep subject. It's broader than the oceans and higher than the mountains. It's deeper than all the valleys. And it's far beyond the comprehension of man to be able to learn everything that there is to know about Christ. And the reason being is because He's God. He's very God. And His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are far above us. And as I said, He is God. And to learn everything about Him, I think, is beyond us, because if we'd ever learn it all, then He'd cease to be God. He'd be on our level. But I'm glad He's not on our level.
Amen.
Men today are trying to bring Him down to their level, but He'll never come there. He is God. There's no doubt about it. And we are His creatures. We're His creatures, number one, by creation. Those of us that are saved are His creatures through the second creation, the regeneration of our souls by His marvelous grace. Now, I want to begin this morning by saying a few things about the preceding verses here, and begin simply by saying that this portion of Scripture begins with Jesus as He reproaches the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. And He does that, He's reproaching them or upbraiding them, because it was there that He had done most of His mighty works, and yet they had not repented. Now, that's an amazing thing. God, Jesus said, "I've done more here in my work than I've done anywhere else. And yet you have not repented. You have heard the word preached to you more than anywhere else, and yet you have not repented. You've seen the eyes of the blind open. You've seen the ears of the deaf opened where they could hear. You have seen the withered hands healed, and you've seen the lame to walk, and the dead to be raised from the grave, and yet you have not repented of your sin." I want to say, before I go any further, to whom much is given, much shall be required. And I think, according to our text, and I may say this again in a moment, but I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it would be better off for a person never to hear of Christ at all than to hear Him, reject Him, and die and go to hell. It'd be better for a person to go to hell having never heard than it would for those that have heard and have rejected, especially those that have heard over and over and over again and have rejected and spurned the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. He illustrates this hardness of their heart and unbelief by comparing them to the cities of Tyre and Sidon and even to Sodom, with all of her sin. As disgraceful as it was for the people to hear these words, and Jesus, knowing the spiritual depravity of their heart, still He extends a personal invitation for them to come unto Him and promises to give them rest unto their soul. And I want to reiterate, Christ saw these people as more sinful than those in Sodom and Gomorrah. And He said that it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom in the day of judgment than it will be for you. I don't need to remind you of what Sodom was. It was a land filled up with Sodomites. I'm talking about perverts. And God knows we've got enough perverts in America today. And they're not only in America, they're all over the world. I mean, they're all over the world today. We have got a world full of perverts. You better believe that's right. And it's not getting any better. That's the reason Jesus said it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And it's rapidly coming upon us. I want to say this to you. There's a couple of sins that really bother me. There's a couple of things that really bother me. And one of them is a perverted lifestyle. I'm talking about men with men, women with women, marrying, even marrying and living together in marriage. I can't handle that. And then I cannot handle a pedophile. That's one thing I just cannot tolerate, is a pedophile. And then I cannot tolerate, these men that are cruel to women and go out and rape innocent women. I cannot tolerate those sins. And I'm going to tell you, they're running rampant in America today and across the world. I won't say this as kindly as I know how and say it without really, I hope, offending anyone, but we live in a sin-sex society today, and that's about all that is on their mind is sex. And I'm telling you, as God judged those cities in Sodom for their sin, God is going to judge this world of that sin also. And He tells us plainly, it's going to be better for them in the day of judgment than it is you. And you know why? Because you've heard the gospel. You've heard the truth, and the truth can make you free. You have saw good works that I've done. You have seen God Himself come down in the form of man and down Calvary for your sins, and yet you have not repented and turned from your sins. And therefore, it'll be better off for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than it will be for you. Amen. And it will be. It absolutely will be. And knowing their sinfulness, that's what really breaks my heart. Amen. God knew how sinful they were. And by the way, friend, God knows how sinful or knew how sinful you and I were. And there's none of us in here sprouting wings as far as I know. There's not an innocent man, woman, boy, or girl in here, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'm telling you, it amazes me at how sinful we are, were and are, and yet Christ not only died for our sins, but He yet loves us today and doing all that He can to bring us out of our sins and purify unto Himself a peculiar people that is zealous of good works. That's more than my mind can almost take. And He sees these people as being more sinful than those in Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet the invitation that He gives them, come unto Me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give unto thee rest. Now I want you to listen carefully. The invitation appears to be a paradox. I'm sure you know what a paradox is. Because the invitation is for those who labor and are heavy laden. That is to say, they that are carrying a big load. You need to get a hold of that. Come unto Me all. Now some folks have stopped right there. Well, He said, come all. Come all. And He did say, come all. But there's a little stipulation to that all. Right. Come all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's who the invitation goes out to. Those that labor and are heavy laden. Those that are burdened down in life. Those that are broken down in life. Those that are miserable in life. Those that know and realize that they're sinners in this life. That's who that invitation goes out to. Amen. Can I say this to you and not make you mad? Somebody said, well, the Bible said, let whosoever will come. I say that's exactly right. But you've got to remember, whosoever, but the catching point there is will. Whosoever will come. Yep. That's right. You're going to have to come by your will.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Come on in the house, boys and girls. That's exactly right. Come on now. Listen to me. It's for those that labor and are heavy laden. And that is to say that they're carrying a big load. To those He promises rest. That sounds like a paradox. Take My yoke upon you. And yet it's for those that labor and are heavy laden. But this rest can only be obtained by taking His yoke upon us. And a yoke is an instrument of hard labor. He said, if you'll take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, I'll give rest unto your soul. And he's talking about those that labor and are heavy laden, and yet he tells them to put their neck in the yoke, and it's there that you will learn of me. Oh, and they said, I'll give you rest here. So, don't sound like much rest to me in a yoke. I find out where Elisha, when God called Elisha to preach in Elijah's stead, the Bible said that he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen and him with the 12. I'm going to tell you something, friend. A yoke is made for an oxen to pull a heavy load. And Jesus said, you need to get in the yoke with me if you're ever going to learn anything about me. You're going to have to get in that yoke where I'm at and labor with me there. Amen. If you're ever intend to learn anything about me. That's right now. Now listen carefully. A yoke is a mark of servitude. A yoke is a mark of slavery. A yoke is a mark of bondage. Somebody said, now Brother Hall, don't sound much like a Christian to me. Why? Paul said, I'm a servant of Christ. Paul also said that he was a bond slave to Christ. Paul also said that he was in bondage to Christ. So why not use all those names? God help us. I'm telling you, every one of us here this morning ought to voluntarily drop our head, place it in the yoke, and hook up with Christ and plow with Him in this world of sin and sorrow, that we might serve Him and serve the world and see sinners saved by the marvelous grace of our God. Amen. Yes, sir. Now stay right with me. But it is also used to couple as to join one to another. So it is there in that yoke that we are instructed to learn about Jesus. And it's there that we're coupled to Him. It's there we're yoked up with Christ. Boy, what a thought if you can get a hold of it. Amen. To be yoked up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Have you ever given any thought to what it would be in our life if our neck was in the same yoke with Him? What life would be like in that yoke with the Lord Jesus Christ? May I begin by simply saying that yoke marks us as laborers together with Christ. We are laborers together with Him. His yoke is easy and His burden is light because He pulls the load. Now, you know, some people think that they're in this thing all together, but I'm going to tell you, we're not alone in our labor. Oh, and we're not alone in our battles. And we're not alone in our temptations. Oh, no, and we're not alone in our trials. We're not alone there, thank God, if we're in that yoke with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that He is near and dear to every one of us. We're not alone there. By the way, we don't have to pull that load. He will pull it for us if we let Him. You know what folks, Christians today remind me of? People that's got a four-wheel John Deere tractor with tires about 10 feet tall, sitting at the bottom of the hill, and they're trying to push a wagon load of corn up the hill with their shoulder. Rather than use that tractor. I'm going to tell you something. We've got Jesus today. And friend, hey, He'll labor for us, and I'll guarantee you He'll pull our load. There used to be a record service in town. I think it was called Toes R Us. And on the boom of that thing, it had on the boom of it, Jesus carries my load. Can I ask you this morning, does Jesus really carry your load? Come on now, I'm going to get out and come out there. If I have to pass out to do it, I will. I'm going to tell you something. Does Jesus really carry your load this morning? Have you cast all your care upon Him because He cared for you? Or are you burdened and labored down with the cares of this life trying to struggle along and pull the load yourself when Christ said He'll pull that load for you if you'll only get in that yoke with Him? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I won't say secondly. In that yoke, we're always in His presence.
Amen.
Woo! Thank God, never alone.
Amen.
He said, I'll never forsake thee. I'm glad I'm not alone this morning.
Amen.
Somebody just told me the other day, he said, doesn't seem like God answers any of my prayers. Seems like heaven's bright. And that God doesn't care anymore. Oh, but I'm telling you, Jesus does care. Oh, does Jesus care? I know He cares. And it's not, hey, and he hears every prayer. And he not only hears every prayer, but he answers every prayer. We just got to be spiritual enough to understand what the answer is that Christ gives us when we pray. Amen. That's right. What a wonderful Lord that we have. Amen. In that yoke, he's always present. Never away from us. Boy, can you get a hold of that? The Bible said in the book of Psalms, in his presence is fullness of joy. You know why y'all look so dead this morning?
Amen.
You ain't been in his presence.
Amen.
You ain't been in his presence.
Amen.
We're going to have to get in his presence a little bit.
Amen.
I'm going to take them his counsel. That's why I'm such a, I'm a stickler on the presence of God in the church.
Son,
I'm going to tell you, if anybody can and he will, put a smile on your face and a song in your heart and praise in your lips to God for what he's done for you in your life. If you'll only get in the presence of him, hallelujah. That's right. That's right. I want to say also, that in his presence, that we're always united to him. You can't get away from him. You know, we're prone to wander. Prone to stray. But he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Can you imagine, hey, if we're laborers with him, we're in a yoke with him, can you imagine how much we can learn about his labors? And how the labor of God's work is to be carried out in this day. If we're in that yoke, can you imagine how much we'll learn about his divine person by being in his presence? His humility. He said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your soul. Not one ounce of pride, but all humility. Oh, and that'd be one thing for you and I to learn. But we're always united to Christ in that yoke. I want to say also that as long as we're in that yoke, we'll never lose sight of him. He's right along beside of us. And by the way, did not he say, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come, but if I go away, I will send a Comforter to you. And by the way, that Comforter simply means one called alongside to help. What a blessing it is to know that we're in that yoke and we've got a Comforter called alongside to help who's got his head in the yoke with us pulling our load. Thank God. I'm going to tell you, it's time that we're... He said, I'll give you rest. A lot of people have never learned to rest in Christ. I'm going to be honest with you, Brother Troy. There's a whole lot of things that man's going to find it hard, difficult, for him to rest in. I mean, you take a sickness. Some people have sickness diseases that are debilitating. Some have terminal illnesses that they know that there's coming a time shortly down the road that they're going to die. And, you know, it's some have got wayward children. They just can't seem to get right with God. And, you know, some of these things seem like, Lord, you know, how can I just rest and just turn this all over to you? How can I find rest and just give this all to you? I'm going to tell you, when you start getting as old as I am, Brother Robert and some of the Brother Cater back there and some of the rest of us, don't you, hey, some of you young bucks, don't you think that you won't start thinking about death? I'm telling you, it's coming. And the older I get, the more I think about it. And so every time my heart goes bloop, I say, Lord, is this it? Hey, I'm sitting over here yesterday. I'm sitting down, took my blood pressure. It's 100. It's 162/98. I get up and walk around for about 2 minutes and take it again, and it's 98/64. In 2 minutes, it drops 64 points. You think that won't make you think, friend? First thing hit my mind, one of these days that thing will sink, bless God, and there won't be no corker to catch it. It'll just keep sinking. Somebody said, if you turn it over to Jesus, I'm trying to, but it's not easy. And I'm telling you, there's some things in life it's not easy to turn over to him. even with him in the yoke with you and pulling your load. There's some things that you just can't hardly give up and turn over to him. Amen. Come on in the house now. We'll never lose sight of him. You ought to turn your eyes upon Jesus. His ways, as long as we're in that yoke, his ways are easy to be observed. To follow in his way. It's easy to be observed. And then we're never idle in work. As long as we're in that yoke. You know, most of us don't do much for God, really. I told somebody the other day, I said, I've been in the ministry, I don't know, 25, 30 years. I look back over and I think, Lord, I've not done much for you. I would to God I could have done more. I look at other men that have done great things. I look at men like Spurgeon. And I don't know how many books he read, but good Lord, he probably read more books in a week than I've read all my life. Done great things for God. Preached to great crowds of people. Other preachers preached to great crowds of people. And I really wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? Somebody said, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. But I got enlightened yesterday on the phone. Brother Metzger called and he said, preacher, you may not be able to do this and you may not be able to do that. But he said, I've told my people, everybody can do what you can. Amen. Everybody can do what you can. If you can't do it, let it alone. If you can do it by the grace of God. Amen. Then he really put the bombshell on me. He said, you know, you might not be able to do a whole lot anymore. But he said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, have you ever thought about a praying ministry? Son, when he said that, I like to die. I wonder how many of us have really thought of a praying ministry. God help us. I said, I can't do much. Can you pray? Can you ask God for divine help? Can you pray for souls? James Alexander Stewart was in a nursing home in Asheville, North Carolina, and sat in a wheelchair in a nursing home and prayed 8 hours a day for souls to be saved. And God help us, we can't pray 5 minutes. Amen. Brother Steve told me the other day he read where John Edwards spent 14 hours a day in study. I wonder if we halfway keep up with that. The answer to that's no. God help us. You know why? We've not put our head in that yoke yet. We have, now come on now, we have not surrendered our life to that very will of God. Here's what God wants for me. My head's in the yoke. I belong to you, Lord. I'm plowing with you. You're mine. You control me. You do with me as you please. And that's my other point on this. As long as we're in that yoke, He will control you. You ain't getting out of it. He'll control you. Oh, we're prone to wander. Prone to stray. That yoke will control us and will keep us in our place. Now, I got to my message. If y'all bear with me a little while, we'll be done. About 15 minutes, I'll be done. What is it here that we can learn about Jesus being in that yoke? All the things that I've said, what can we learn? Stay with me now. I only have 3 points. If we're in that yoke, we ought to be able to learn. And I know there's a lot of things I can say. But we ought to be able to learn about His power of redemption. Oh, that's something that every Christian ought to know.
Amen.
Is the power that Christ has to redeem.
Amen.
We've lost sight of the power that He has to reach down and lift that fallen man out of the depths of his sin and depravity and save him by the grace of God. Take that depraved nature and make a new creature out of him in Christ. Amen. Make him a partaker of God's divine nature.
Amen.
That's right. We forgot His power of redemption, and that means to buy back. To buy out the slave market of sin. Somebody said, how can He do that? He's not broke. He's the wealthiest person I know.
Amen.
Praise God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and taters underneath the hills. Woo!
Amen.
He ain't broke. And His power's not depleted. Somebody said, God's getting old. No, He ain't getting old. He lives in eternity. He's as young today as He's ever been. He's not lost any power. He's not diminished. He's as strong today as He ever was.
Amen.
And He's still got the power to redeem, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
I don't give a flip what preachers say. And living in the last days, and ain't nobody going to get saved, so we might as well give up. You listen to the devil too much. Yeah, we're living in the last days. But this is no time to give up. I want to ask you something. If you was out in a lake in a boat, and it started sinking, and you got within 100 feet of the shore, and you were filling up with water, would you quit then? I'll guarantee you what you'd do. You'd pick up momentum. That's exactly what we ought to be doing. We ought to be picking up momentum. And realize that the God we serve has power to do. And let me just throw this out at you. We ought to understand enough to know that He had the power to redeem us. And if He had the power to redeem us, He's got the power to keep us. If He's got the power to keep us, He's got the grace to bless us. If He's got the grace to bless us, that means He's got a heart to love us. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God, that's right. The power of redemption. He said in the book of the Revelation, verse 5, chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, talking about us. He said, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. How? By Thy blood.
Yes.
Redemption by blood, not by baptism.
Amen.
Not speaking in tongues, not joining the church, not doing good works.
Amen.
But redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I love that old song, redeemed, redeemed. How I love to sing about being redeemed. Thank God. And not only redeemed, but redeemed by the blood. The price was paid by His blood that He shed.
Amen.
God help us. When was the last time you remembered that?
Amen.
Like Brother Steve said in Sunday school, we'll leave here and our mind will be on everything but Jesus.
Amen.
We'll forget about His power to redeem. The fact that He's redeemed us. That He's bought us by His blood. That He shed His blood for us. He said, You redeemed us by Thy blood out of every nation. Hast made us unto God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. Now, friend, if you can get a hold of that, praise God, I'm going to have to get down here. He has made us kings and priests unto our God. I won't say to you that a king and a priest is not some little trivial position in life. The last time I had, kings had a pretty lofty position in this world. And it didn't say kings and priests in heaven. He said He's going to make us kings and priests on this earth.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. And a priest as well. That means, hey, we're going to be serving in the tabernacle. Woo! Now, some of you don't get a hold of that. That means we're going to be in the church serving God in the church.
Amen.
If you don't like the church today, you ain't going to be in it then.
Yeah,
I like church. I like to come to church.
Yeah.
I like singing. I like preaching. I like testifying. I like praying. I like tears on the altar. I like shouting. Hallelujah. I like full-time worship of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Better believe that's right. I like coming to church, friend. We sit, bless God. Act like Jesus is dead. He's lost all His power. He ain't dead.
Amen.
He's very much alive.
Amen.
He was alive and He was dead.
Amen.
But John said, Behold, He's alive forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
And has the keys of hell and death. Say amen right there. That's our God.
Amen.
That's our God that we're in the yoke with. That's our God that we're learning about.
Amen,
amen to Him. Yes, sir. Now, listen to what He says in Galatians 3:13. He said, Christ hath, there we are, redeemed us. From what, Brother Hall? From the curse of the law. And how did they do that? Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, friend, that is beyond me. that hey, that He redeemed us from the curse of the law. And how did He do it? Because He was made a curse Himself. How the Holy One of heaven can come to earth and be made a curse. You understand what a curse is? It means literally to be damned. That He was damned that you and I might be delivered. I never thought of that. That'll preach. Him damned and us delivered. Him cursed and us saved. What a hey, yeah, come on. Through redemption. Redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now I'm going to tell you, friend, if we was all under the law today, we'd all be in hell. Say amen right there. No, that's exactly right. Now listen right on, ain't quite done yet. Psalm 49:15, it said, but God will redeem. Now He's already redeemed us by His blood. He's already redeemed us from the curse of the law. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. For He shall receive me, Selah. Think about that. He will redeem what? My soul! A soul being redeemed. Hey, He said from the power of the grave. I don't know what you think about this, but here's what I'll throw out at you. What He's saying is, redeeming us from the power of the grave, that our soul will never go to that grave. That body will, but our soul's going to be with God. Why? Because He's redeemed our soul from the power of that grave. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't believe in no soul sleep, friend. I'm not going to be sleeping in no grave. You can be a Jehovah's Witness, bless God, if you want to be, but I'm a Baptist, old-time Baptist. Amen. I don't believe the soul sleeps. The soul goes on to be with Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Because He has redeemed our soul by His blood. Hallelujah. Woo! From the power of the grave, He's redeemed our soul. Now, it don't stop there. I'm glad it don't. Now, get a hold of this. I'm going to read this. I got to turn this over because I need to write another verse on this and I didn't write it. But y'all have heard it so many times in Romans 8. But I've heard preachers preach it wrong all my life. But I'm going to preach it right to you today. If I can. Where am I at here? Romans 8. Yeah. And I'm going to begin reading verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. We're just waiting till God manifests all of us. Reveals us. Each and every one of us. And puts us on display. Some of you know what I'm talking about. For the creature, notice now in verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also, now listen carefully, but the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now here's a verse that I've heard preached wrong all of my life. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Not only the soul, but the redemption of the body. But here's what I got. I've heard all my life that verse in verse 23 where it says, and not only they, but, no, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. I've heard all my life that's talking about God's creation out here. The mountains, the trees that have been cursed, the ground cursed for man's sake. That curse, it was out in the creation. It groaneth and travaileth up until now. But I'm going to tell you what, I was reading that thing last night and God said, that ain't what that means. I'm going to tell you why it said, why it don't. Because in the next verse it said, and they! Hey, and they! I'm going to tell you what he's talking about. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth until now. And even we ourselves, it said. who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And I'm going to tell you what I think that creation, the whole creation. No, Brother Jerry. No. Hey, hallelujah. Oh, yes. I'm going to tell you what he's talking about. He's talking about all that crowd that's went on before us. The whole creation of God. Hallelujah. Every new creature in Christ. That's what he's talking about. Those Old Testament saints as well as us New Testament saints. They're waiting also. They're in that grave groaning. They're in that grave groaning. I want out of here. Let me out of here. Whoa! Let me out of here, Lord. Then there we are. Let me out of here, Lord. Waiting. And then there's those that are alive. Lord, help me, Lord. I'm waiting, Lord. I'm waiting. And one of these days, he's going to step out and say, come up hither.
Yep.
And that crowd back there that I'm talking about is going to get up out of the grave.
Yep.
And then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together to be with the Lord. And get a hold of this. Those of you that don't believe in the bodily resurrection, he had said, and the redemption of the body. So I've done proved to you the body and the soul are going to be redeemed. What about the spirit? Spirit's already been redeemed. We got a perfect spirit. Yes, and somebody said, where's it going when we die? Be absent from the body. It'll be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. If I could run Tyler, praise God, I'd run a lap right now. I'm telling you, our spirit's going to be with God. Amen. When we die out of here. Woo! And it's a perfect spirit. Ooh. Yeah, I'm talking about learning about the power of redemption.
Amen.
And some of y'all need to get a hold of that. Hallelujah. And so he's got all of it covered, body, soul, and spirit.
Amen.
It's all going out. I'm trying to hurry. Stay right with me, okay? Stay right with me. He said in Psalm 27, and get this. I like this. Some of y'all ain't going to get a hold of this either. Psalm 25, verse 22. David said, redeem Israel, O God. What? Out of all of his troubles. Whoa! That comes down to where we're living today. God can redeem us by his power out of all our trouble. That's what Paul said. Paul said he delivered me out of all my troubles, thank God. Not just a few of them, all of them, hallelujah. What kind of trouble you got today? Get your neck in a yoke with Christ and I'll tell you, he'll redeem you out of all of your troubles. Every one of them. Every one of them. He'll revive us though we walk in the midst of troubles. Yet God will revive us. That's his wonderful name. Somebody said, well, God, see, we want to limit God, just like Israel did. We want to put a limitation on him. Can God spread a table in the wilderness? Well, you dummy. Praise God, you know he can. He done it once, he can do it again. Well, he can open up heaven and bring quail food in to eat. He can open up heaven and give us manna, angel's food. Oh, yes. And then cold water to drink. I'm telling you, that's a fine meal for a Christian. Bread and quail and water. Can't improve on it. Pretty good eating, ain't it? I don't doubt if that bread is not biscuits. Y'all catch that after a while. I want to say secondly, not only in that yoke do we learn about the power of redemption, but we learn about our personal relationship. Personal relationship. I'm going to tell you, some of you are so dull, and the reason is you don't really understand the full relationship that you have with Christ. May I say to you that he is not just a casual acquaintance. Some folks got the idea that he's just somebody that we casually meet every now and then that we're acquainted with. You know, that we hear his name and we know about his name. Oh, it goes far beyond that. Now I'm hurrying now, for he said in 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father. Last account I had, the Father had children.
Say amen right there.
Yeah.
Amen. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called what? The sons of God.
Yeah.
What a relationship.
Yeah.
I'm God's son, ladies and gentlemen. I'm somebody today. I'm not a nobody anymore.
Yeah.
And I was lost in sin. I was a drunken nobody going nowhere. But Jesus passed by one day and lifted me out of the boat. And now I'm somebody going somewhere. Hallelujah. And that somewhere is heaven. Amen to God. That's right. Nobody going nowhere to somebody going somewhere. Thank God. That is exactly right. Hallelujah. Amen. We're God's son. He's our father. That's quite a relationship. Read here secondly. He's not a far off kinsman. Somebody said, well, he's kin to us, but he's far off. Is that right? Well, Paul wrote in Hebrews 2:17, he said, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. And it says in Matthew 28:10, when he's resurrected, talking to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee and there shall they see me. We're not only his son. Boy, God help me, Brother Joe. I'm not trying to bring God down here.
Right.
But I'm telling you, he's my elder brother.
Amen.
Thank God, what a relationship.
Yes, sir.
He is my brother, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
It behooves him to be made like unto his brethren, that in all things he might be a great high priest, that he could be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's why he became a man. He is a man. Jesus was a man, 100% man and 100% God. Don't
Amen.
Ask me how. Woo! But that's what he is.
Yes, sir.
He's our brother. I've told y'all this story. I used to go to Interville High School. A couple of brothers named Tone. John Tone and Johnny and Freddie Tone. Now I'm telling you, they picked on me. They were bigger than them. Dudes picked on me all the time. I mean, they'd pick and thump around on me and thump my ears and carry on, trip me on the school bus. Always picking around on me. Me and my brother Ernie, he's a bigger brother, got on the bus one day and he said, hey, you let me go off first today, okay? I said, all right. I knew what he was going to do. So he walked off first. And like he come out of that school bus, he came out of that door of that school bus and just eased over here like this and stood there. There I came out. There came old John Tone out behind me. Bump, something on the ear. About that time, Ernie said, hey, Johnny. Whop! That's all it took. Big brother done took care of the problem for me. Now, I'm telling you, we got a big brother.
Yeah.
Amen, son. He can take care of our problems for us, ladies and gentlemen. Something that's too big for us to handle is nothing for him. There's nothing too big for him. He's big enough to handle them all. Whether it's big troubles or little troubles or big problems or little problems, he can handle them all. Even if he has to pop the devil in the nose. Somebody said, I don't believe he'd do that. Well, it said in the book of Psalms, Psalmist said, knock out the teeth of the great dragon. Knock his teeth out, Lord. Talking about Satan. I believe before he goes into hell, he's going in gum with toothless. And they ain't going to give him no dentures. That egg sucker's going to burn without teeth all his life. He's going to knock his teeth out. That's what it says. Read your Bible. Knock out the teeth of the great lions, it says. The great lion, knock his teeth out. He's going to knock them out and then throw them in hell. He's going to be like, oh, y'all, yeah. I'm trying to get done. Hallelujah. I'm having a good time whether you are or not. Now, notice this. He's not a casual acquaintance. He's not a far-off kinsman. And then thirdly, he's a close friend. That Bible said in John 15:15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you son, friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you. How wonderful that is. That we're not called servants, but we're called his friend. Now I'm going to tell you, he's a friend. Wow, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he has told us all things about the Father. It's right there in the King James 1611 Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Everything is right there. I'm not know about the New King James or the RSV or the NIV or any of them other things. I'm talking about the King James Bible. Hallelujah. I'm glad he's my friend. Don't have many friends, but I know I've got one. That's right. Now, he also said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. How wonderful that is. He says he come to save sinners, but he said he laid his life down for his friends, for his brethren, for his sons. You'll catch that after a while, but slow for it. Now I'm done right here. The third thing we'll learn in that yoke is the promise of his return.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you something. He's going to make two more returns.
Amen.
Now, I'm not going to take time to turn there, but the first one is found in 1 Thessalonians 4.
Right.
When he descends into the clouds and calls us up to meet him in the air.
Yes, sir.
Right. That's one return. But you read 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, and he's coming again, taking vengeance.
Yeah.
Vengeance on all those that believe not the gospel.
Amen.
And obey not the word of God.
Amen.
And that's the second time he's coming. It's when that sharp two-edged sword's going to be out of his mouth.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, we ain't going to have to lift a finger.
Good.
He'll take care of everything for us.
Yeah.
He'll have on his vesture Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
Amen.
His vesture will be dipped in blood.
Yeah. Amen.
And it'll be just as fresh as it was. It'll be just as fresh as it was the day that he died on the cross.
Amen.
Wow, he doesn't have corrupt, contaminated blood, ladies and gentlemen, like we do.
Yeah.
It's still fresh. It's still fresh. It's still fresh. What a God. You want to put your head in that yoke this morning? Learn some things about him maybe you don't know anything about. Him. Wonderful place to be.
Yes, sir.
I know what somebody thinks. But preacher, you ought to preach on this. You ought to preach on that. You ought to preach all them sugar sticks. Well, I preached a whole lot of condemnation. But I'm going to tell you something. We got folk today that's hurting and hurting bad that need to hear something from the Bible that may inspire them just a little bit.
Amen.
And if I can, that's what I want to be to you and that's what I want to do for you. And I'm going to tell you, I'm trying to show you the best way. And the best way is with Jesus.
Yes, sir.
The best way is full surrender, just yielding yourself totally up to him and what he wants to do in your life. And don't worry about the past. Paul said, forgetting those things which are, forget about them. There's things in the past that will haunt you, the living dickens out of you. Forget about them. Let them go. Turn them loose. Put them behind you. And what you have left to do, do all you can while you have time to do it. Do what you can now. Don't let that past make you bitter. Don't let that past aggravate you. Don't let it torment you. Do what you can do now for Christ. Let's stand together.